is their children's church. There you go, kids, down to the kids' zone. Don't eat too many donuts down there. There you are, guys. Now, you're going to be saying, oh, he's repeating himself, but I am. I want us to get this in our brains, all right? There are 10 reasons that we're going to rejoice that we find in the book of Philippians. And today we're down to number 9. So that tells you just one more in the book of Philippians next Sunday. So we have those reasons. God will finish what he started concerning us. Number 2, God will use our chains for his divine purposes, problems, difficulties. To live is Christ and to die is gain. Unity comes through humility. Humility comes from following the examples of Jesus. These are all reasons to rejoice. The fifth one, our witness impacts our world. 6, nothing in life compares to knowing Christ and receiving his righteousness by faith. Run the race and finish well, that my name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. All right? So we looked at that last week, and we all want to have our names written there on that page, bright and fair. But before we continue, let's pray together. Heavenly Father, our lives are in your hands. This church is in your hands. Help us to be part of sharing the gospel message. Help us to recognize the goodness that you are to us. Help us to be led by the Holy Spirit who lives in every believer. Help us to walk the paths you present before us. Help us to consider the lilies of the field and how they grow. Help us to remember that your eye is on the sparrow and how much more for us. Help us to seek your direction for our lives. Keep us safe. Keep us vigilant. When we stumble, help us to stay upright in our dealings with others. Father, there's so much more to pray about. We think of those in our congregation that are sick. We continue to pray for Scott. We're grateful that you're working a real work in his heart and in his life. And the same for Randy. We thank you that you're speaking to both of these fellows and that they've joined forces in encouraging and helping each other. We pray for Dick Bynes as he regains his strength from this pacemaker operation that he had. We pray for Virginia and for Mary. We thank you that Mary's doing well and that she fell last week. And Virginia, we love her smile. We love her good attitude. We love the way that she just keeps on, keeping on. We pray for our Alliance missions. We know that there are many needs. And I pray especially for Ben and Chelsea on the field. I pray for the Barners that are friends of Lucy's, that you would help this pastor, that you would give him the strength that he needs. I pray for and ask you to give us opportunities to share the gospel message. May we be pure and holy in our methods. Help us to stay true to the word. Help me as the pastor here. May I seek your direction. May I seek your words to relay to the congregation. May your presence be evident in my life. I thank you, Father, for your goodness to us. I thank you for the way that you have raised this church up and how you have used it in the past. Help us to have a future that we might be ready at any time to share the gospel message. Bless us, Lord. May your word be shared honest and true. I ask this in Christ's name. Amen. So we're on reason number 9 for reasons to rejoice. And I'll give you at the end. I know you're all excited about that. You can't wait to jot that down on this list. And today I want to speak to you folks about the best way to have good and peaceful thoughts and to meditate on God's word. Philippians chapter 4, verses 4 through 9. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice. Let your gentleness be known to all men. The Lord is at hand. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God.
And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, and we're to meditate on these things, all right? Keep that in mind. Whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there's any virtue and if there's anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. The things which you learned and received and heard and saw in me, these do, and the God of peace will be with you. May the Lord add his blessing to the reading of the word. When you're a kid, it's easy to be joyful. We got this little guy, Judah, and Lana, and Kala. They're pretty happy kids, aren't they? Most of the time. I'm sure they are. My grandkids are always glad to see Grammy and Papa, and we try to keep their parents away from where we're at with the kids so we can spoil them a bit and do whatever. Where's the candy, Papa? They don't get much candy at home. It's in the secret spot, and I have it stored in there behind the dining room door. So, Calla, if you come back, you know the candy's behind the dining room door, all right? You can just help yourself. But you remember back in the day when we would sing that song, Rejoice in the Lord always, and I can't, my tunes aren't carrying very well. And again, I say rejoice. How many remember that song? And we would do it in rounds, and this part would sing this part and that part. And I thought I would do it today, but no, I think not. I think we'll just have to remember it. All right, and wait till we get under 1,000 more people in here over the next few weeks, and then we'll give it a try. When we're kids, we like to have fun. When I was a kid living on the farm, Mom and Dad had a home in Barnesboro, PA. We had a home on the swimming pool hill, and we could walk up to that swimming pool, though I wasn't that old when we moved to a farm. When Mom and Dad sold the home in Barnesboro, they were building a new home in the outskirts of Barnesboro, and we lived on the family farm for a couple years while they built that home. And I had two neighbor kids and my brother and the Lloyd boys. And the Lloyd boys were relatives of the neighbor kids, Bevy and Lenny Westover. And what was our greatest thing to do? Go down to the creek, turn the rocks over, and catch crabs. How many did that when you were a kid? Oh, yeah. and then catch those frogs there in the bushes there. It didn't take much to keep us happy and to be carefree. It really didn't. And we had a little pond, and one day I went up to the pond, and here one of the cows must have been running down the hill, and that cow went right in the pond and drowned. I went running home. My mom was home. I said, the cow's drowned. It's dead. Well, I don't know what to do. We'll have to wait till your dad comes home from work. And then out came the tractor, and they pulled it out, and it was old. And we had that cow. Its name was Hornblower, all right? Big horns, and she would bawl all the time, and so we called her Hornblower. So those things made us, they made us happy, and we were careful. There's always a but. But then we grew up. And then we knew about life. We knew about death. We knew about worry, and we knew about problems and demands and disappointments. And there were family problems all the time, and there was heartache. And we had to fight for joy, fight to find it. Now, I searched online and found a few statistics, and I wanted to share with you. And I think they're pretty true, that 1 in 4 young adults in the U.S. are dealing with depression or anxiety. Now, Adam knows about this, and he can say amen every now and then if he thinks they're right. 26% of those aged 18 to 29 have depression has more than doubled since 2017. 26 to 27% of that age group have the highest mental health challenges to this age group. And here's why. Heavy use of social media. Does that sound right, Adam? 3 hours a day or more on that social media. And it's linked to 27% of depression or more of the cases. The COVID pandemic helped with depression. Access to care or limited care, no funds to pay for mental health care. Disparity, this LGBTQZRTNNJ, wherever it stops, brings about depression in people. And today, and Adam, can you add anything to it?
Yeah, I think, from my experience working with students, and the work that I do is focused on, training students to become, productive members of the workforce. That's what we do over there in Clarion. And, from talking with these students, it seems like there's a high level of uncertainty. Are we doing the right thing? Are they there for the right purposes and for the right job? Is that job still going to be there? They have their whole lives now. They're concerned. So we try to help them through some of that, but it's, the world is a crazy place.
It is. We hate to say that the world is a crazy place. It is. Thanks, Adam. My friend who's a professor at the university says she'll get 20 kids in her class, and probably 10 of those young men tell her they're depressed. They don't know what to do. They can't communicate. They live in a dorm, and they have a little pod they're in, but they don't even talk to their roommates. They just go in their room and sit there and watch that screen
all the time, watch the screen, do their work there. Many of them just don't even go out. They just get their lectures on the screen. And I don't want to blow this out of proportion, but I think it happens quite a bit. Now, our today's passage is one of the clearest New Testament teachings on joy. It's kind of a double whammy. Rejoice, I say, in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. There in verse 1. Double whammy of joy. And it's about peace, prayer, and the believer's thought life. Written by Paul when he's in prison. And that makes it all the more powerful that he wrote this from the prison cell. And it makes us go, wow, how could he be have such joy when he's in prison? And in these verses, in verse 6, it says, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, be anxious for nothing. We can say to someone, if someone comes into my office or someone I do some counseling with, and they'll say, I'm worried about this and I'm worried about that and I'm anxious about this. And I just want to say, forget it. Don't be anxious. They don't want that answer. There has to be more to it than just saying, don't be anxious. I have a grandson that is, he has that problem. He frets and worries about everything. And I have to be careful because I want to just say, snap out of it. Just snap out of it. But it's a deeper problem. Paul says there is help for those who are anxious. Now, if we look at verse 7, and it's right there, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. And now we look at verse 9, Thomas. 8, I'm trying to find where that 9 starts. The things which you learned and received and heard and saw in me, these do, and the God of peace will be with you. Now it says you can have the peace of God, and then it says you can have the God of peace. Peace of God, God of peace. It's 6 of one, half a dozen of the other. It's the same thing. You can have this. The peace is all from God. 2 Corinthians 1:13 says, blessed be the God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort. The God of all comfort. Comfort comes from God. 2 Peter 5:7 says, casting all your care upon him for what? He cares for you. Casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you. So how do we get the peace of God? Or the God of peace? Either way. But we see that the remedy, one of the remedies for worry, is the power of prayer. Paul goes to that remedy first, and we'll present that first. Be anxious for nothing. You've heard it said many times, oh, we'll pray about it. Let's just pray about it. And that's the best thing we can do, is to pray about it. But do we do it? Be anxious for nothing. What are the most important things for God? Do we want to go to God with our running nose? Do we want to go to God with an earache? We say he's got other things to do. He's got bigger things to do. Do we want to go to God if we want to have baseball practice and we can't have it? My granddaughter Lauren, and I might have told you this last week, my granddaughter Lauren called and said, "Papa, can you talk to Eli? Eli's five. Is he five, Judy?" "He's five." "Eli's five." And Eli said to his mother, "God is fake. He's fake." "Why do you say that God is fake?" "I prayed that I could have baseball practice tonight, and it's raining. We can't have baseball practice. God isn't really there. What do you say?" "Papa, can you talk to Eli about this?" "Well," Eli said, "yeah." I said, "Sometimes God says yes when we pray. Sometimes God says no when we pray. Sometimes God says maybe when we pray. And sometimes God says, let's wait." And I went on and explained a little more. And I said, "Do you think that's right?" "Yep, thanks, I gotta go play." That was it. He wasn't all that interested in it. And so he didn't give me a big theological response, but he said, "Yep, thanks, I gotta go play." So he got to play ball. Don't think that your things are nothing to God. Your things that you take before the Lord, it's important. It might seem small, but it's important because God knows that you're depending upon him and that he's big enough to handle any situation. My dad said to me when I was a kid, "Do not play on that pile of boards over by the barn. There's nails sticking up. And if you step on a nail, you'll have to get a shot." Who wants to get a shot? Who went and played on the pile of boards? Ray Baker. I fell. I didn't step on it. It went right into my leg. What can I do? I'm going to have to. And I pulled the board. I pulled it out. It's bleeding. "Oh, Dad, what's Dad going to do?" And I said, "I fell on a board. I didn't step on it. I fell on a board." And he said, I told you, but you can come to me with this. You did the right thing in telling me, because now we have to get a shot. That tetanus, you know, the whole thing, you're going to get locked jaw and you won't be able to move and all that kind of thing, scared the bejeebers out of me. I'll never go on that board pile again. But I can go to God, who is my heavenly Father, and I can say, "Lord, my grandson's having a problem." I can bring that to him, and God is concerned about my needs. Amen? Amen? He's concerned about the little things as well as the big things. And this prayer doesn't have to be lofty communication. You don't have to go to God with all the these and thous. In the book of Luke, chapter 11, I want to read just a little bit here. "It came to pass as he was praying in a certain place," so Christ is praying to his heavenly Father, "when he ceased, that one of his disciples said to him, 'Lord, teach us to pray, as John also taught his disciples.' So he said to them, 'When you pray,
And this is seems like a great and lofty prayer, but he uses that Lord's Prayer as an example. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone who is indebted to us. Do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. The Lord wants us to pray, but it doesn't have to always be that Lord's Prayer. It can be simpler. Oftentimes we have people that will say, don't ask me to pray out loud. And I know who they are, and I'm not being critical. And I realize the discomfort that it might bring to you, because we're not used to speaking out in public. But we need to pray. We need to take time. We need to worship him, whether it's a prayer of confession or praying for others. He is your heavenly Father. Now, the former district superintendent, when he would come and pray, he would be here and he would pray, and he called God and he would pray, Daddy. I can't hardly bring myself to do that, calling God Daddy. But Brother Norris did that. And so we should go to the Lord like he is our Father and take our prayers and petitions to him. Now, there's another word called supplication. So we have prayer, we got to do it. It's a simple thing. You've heard it for years. You've heard it from your pastors. You've heard it from your Sunday school teachers. Vacation Bible school. Prayer, prayer, prayer. Pray to God. So we know we ought to do it. That it's something that should take place. But now there's that word supplication. What in the world is supplication? It's only a petition to God for a need that you have. A supplication is asking for something. Asking God for something. Psalm 4:1. Hear me, and this is David writing all these psalms, hear me when I call, O God of my righteousness. You have relieved me in my distress. Have mercy on me and hear my prayer. Psalm 5:8. Lead me, O Lord, in your righteousness because of my enemies. Make your way straight before my face. We prayed for mercy. Now we pray for guidance. Mercy, guidance. 6:4. Deliverance. Return, O Lord, deliver me. O save me for your mercy's sake. And then in verse 34:4, I sought the Lord and he heard me and delivered me from all my fears. Deliverance from fears. Notice that he asked God for things. And Paul locks in on thanksgiving. So there's prayer, there's supplication, and now Paul locks in on thanksgiving. So keep those two things in mind. Now we go to this matter of thanksgiving. So we are to pray with thanksgiving, with prayer and supplication and thanksgiving. Giving thanksgiving before the answer comes. There have been times when we've prayed for something and we kind of wait for God to do the deal. Okay, Lord, I need this or I need that. And we want God to do the deal and to give us what we ask for.
And then we give thanks. Give thanks for what the Lord has done. Now, we have prayed for Scott and Randy Palmer and this Cancer Matters. But you know what? I went to the hospital to be with Scott when he had the surgery. I just had that peace that passes all understanding. It's amazing that as we grow and we mature in the Lord, that peace is ever present. We need not fear. We need not worry. God is with us in all these difficult times. And I hear encouraging words from Scott, and it's a devastating surgery that he had to have. So we give thanks even before the prayer is answered. We are grateful to God, and oftentimes God will withhold things from us. Poor Eli couldn't practice baseball. But God gives us peace in the midst of turmoil and difficulty. We live in a world now that's filled with turmoil. We think, what's going to happen to our children? What's going to happen to our grandchildren? How are things going to be for them in the future? Is it going to be more and more turmoil? And we want them to know the peace that passes all understanding. And how do they get that? They get that from us being an example of Christ-like living. Christ in me, the hope of glory. So we got to pray. And the second thing is meditation for anxiety. Here's a little play on words. Meditation instead of medication. My doctor friend, when I would be driving her from Pittsburgh up to work at the Laurel Eye Clinic, I would look in the mirror. She got quiet, and she's sitting in the back seat with her legs crossed with her hands like this. And once she stopped, I said, what were you doing? I'm meditating. I'm talking to whoever, whatever God was on her mind that day. Now, we all think of this meditation that people do with yoga and some of this craziness that we hear about. But the word is very clear that it's important for us to meditate on God's word. Verses 8 and 9. We'll look at it again. I got to go, and here we go. Brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there's any virtue and if there's any praiseworthy, meditate on these things. The things which you learned and received and heard and saw in me, these do, and the God of peace will be with you. David tells us that we should meditate. Psalm 1, verses 1 and 2. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the paths of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. There's that word meditation. Psalm 77:12. I will also meditate on all your work and talk of your deeds. My eyes are awake, Psalm 119. My eyes are awake through the night watches, that I may meditate on your word. If you can't sleep, are any of you having trouble sleeping?
What do? Come to the church, the pastor's sermon will help you on that. Or you can meditate on God's word when you wake up. Don't lay there in bed and lie there in bed and worry. But meditate on his word. Keep a Bible beside your bed. So we're to meditate on 8 different things. It's important. The mind is a battleground. Satan knows that that is where he can get us. That is where he can come at us. He knows that our mind is that battleground. And we can meditate and we can get help without getting all fussed up. So he says, here's what you meditate on. So remember these 8 things. And I'll soon get to the 9th reason to be rejoicing. He says, meditate on things, whatever things are true. Think on those things, whatever things are right and true. The enemy loves to lie to you about that. This word is not true. Eli, this word is fake. That's a simple putting it, but it happens to us in deeper ways. Think about whatever is noble. Meditate on what is honest and right. Meditate on what is just, what is upright, what is pure, what is lovely, what is of good report, what has any kind of virtue. Whatever is praiseworthy, think on these things. Meditate on his word day and night. The cure for anxiety is prayer and meditation. God said to Joshua, and this affirms meditation, Joshua 1:8, this book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. Meditate on the word, know the word, get into the word, study the word. Let it be a light unto your path. And meditate on it day and night. There's a natural benefit to meditation, prayer, and meditation. And through prayer and meditation, God will give us peace that passes all understanding. So it takes those 2 things, meditation, prayer and meditation, to have peace that passes all understanding. Shall we pray? Father, today there are those, even here in our midst, that are suffering from harmful thoughts, that are suffering with difficulties, that are in their mind being tormented by Satan, and we rebuke him now in those lives and in those hearts and in those minds in the name of Jesus. We think, Lord, of the words of Jeremiah, who said, blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord and whose hope is the Lord, for he shall be like a tree planted by the waters, which spreads out its roots by the river, and will not fear when heat comes, but its leaf will be green, and will not be anxious in the year of drought, nor will cease from yielding fruit. I pray, Father, that we as a people will trust in the Lord.
that we will be anxious for nothing. God, you're a wonderful God. You want to work in each of our hearts. You want us to be your people in a greater way in these days. Help us, Father, in this congregation to be examples of people. As Paul said, I am. I'm an example of trusting prayer, faithful to meditation. Help us to be those kind of people. May Christ be seen in us, in our words, in our thoughts, in our actions. I ask this all in Christ's name. And all God's people said, Amen. Leah will lead us in a song.